Gemara tells us in the beginning of Masechet Megillah that technically speaking, we really should have said Hallel on Purim. The Hallel, Purim is all the makings of a day that require Hallel. It's a tremendous Yeshua, a tremendous salvation, it's a tremendous Neis. Even though it's a Neis Nista, notice the Gemara never says that you don't say Hallel because it's a Neis Nista. That somehow wasn't Baruch Cheshbon. Even a Neis Nista you say Hallel for because it was a tremendous Yeshua. And the Gemara says that in a certain sense it was a greater Yeshua than Pesach because Pesach was only Adas L'Cheiras and Purim wasn't the Misa L'Chaim. So we really, really should have said Hallel. And the Gemara says, no, we don't say Hallel for a variety of reasons. So many, many, three different reasons that Chazal give. One of the reasons is that Achkati Avdi HaChashverosh Anon, that we're still Avadim HaChashverosh. That the opening words of Hallel, Avdi Hashem. So on Pesach, you can belt out Hallel Avdi Hashem. You can say it, Muna Shalem, Lev Shalem. Whereas on Purim, who are you joking? What do you mean, Hallel Avdi Hashem? You're not Avdi Hashem completely. You're still Avdi HaChashverosh. How do we know we're still Avdi HaChashverosh? Look at the last paragraph of the Megillah. We're still paying taxes, HaChashverosh. After the whole story is over, we're still subjugated. We're still subject of HaChashverosh. So perhaps one could argue that, although probably not the Pshat in the Maamar Chazal, but a little bit derech drush, that maybe Chazal meant that Akati Avdi HaChashverosh Anon means something in a more of a Musar sense as well. That when we speak about being meshubat to something, so one can be meshubat to things in multiple ways. You could be a physical eved, like we know there are dinim, there are lochas about an eved, never knighted, never divrit, some half kedushas as well, something we spoke about a little bit in the past. So there are dinim of mamish abdus in the physical sense of the word. And then there's the notion of being meshubat, not that the other person literally owns me, but almost close to like a shibut nechasim, and I really own it, but I'm somehow influenced by that other person. I can't make too many decisions without, I can't really sell the property, I can't get rid of it. I have to always check up, make sure that I'm in sync with what the person who I have a Shiba to, what his perspective on the property is. So that type of a Shiba, that second type of a Shiba, is almost more in the realm of Ruchayah. That a person could be a Ben Chayrin, and physically, a person who owns himself legally, but he's meshubad to those around him. He's meshubad, sometimes not necessarily to another individual, but he's meshubad to a culture. He's meshubad to a mindset. He's meshubad to a certain lifestyles that exist around him, a certain value system that exists around him. A person can really be an epic, mamash be meshubad. So perhaps that's what the Megillah is highlighting, the fact that even though Purim was a great day, and there was a tremendous, a renaissance of Torah and mitzvahs and kibbutz and everything, but it's still really, really hard to break away from Akati Avdi HaChashverosh Anon, that there's a little bit of HaChashverosh that still speaks to us. And Yeshua is not 100% complete. Purim is not completely over until we completely break off those chains of the Shibud of HaChashverosh. What was the Shibud of HaChashverosh? What was the value system? What did Persia look like? What were the things that were important in Persia that were very tempting to call Yisrael? So it's not that hard to figure it out. You just have to read the first 20 psukim of the Megillah. So the Megillah starts off in a very, very strange way. It could have easily started off with Perek Beis. It could have just told us that there was this king, Achashverosh, he had a queen, the queen got bumped off, and let's move on, and now we start, bring Esther into the picture. So the Megillah goes into almost like quarry detail as to what the background was about what this party was. And the party was unbelievable. First of all, it was two parties. There was a 180-day party. Between you and me, I don't know what a person could possibly do at a 180-day party. By 3-4 hours of the chasid, I'm going out of my mind. But 180 days at a party, that's 6 months. It's a half a year. It's more than a semester. A semester in YU is bekoshi 3 months. So 6 months of a party, just straight partying. And then when you're all done, just in case you don't have enough, then another week. Just, part two of the party. And for the hamonam, the 180 days for the special people, and then the 7 days, chol amanim soyim. For 7 days, what could you possibly do for 7 days? So we know exactly what was going on at this party. The Pesukim described to us what Achashverosh's palace looked like. You're talking about the most despicable descriptions of Gashmias, of such lavish, of such luxury, of such unnecessary waste of luxury. Between you and me, I would much rather go to sleep on a comfortable bed than on a golden bed. He tells the Hava Chesef, what would you do with a golden bed? I don't know where I return on a golden bed, instead of a golden bed. And it really makes a difference. I could also appreciate a good milkshake or something, a good smoothie or something, but does it really make a difference whether it's in a golden cup or it's in a silver cup? What's the difference? It's gashmius for the sake of gashmius. It's indulgence for the sake of indulgence. Now, when you have that kind of a lifestyle, when you have that kind of a value system that is just unbridled gashmius, so it's not a great surprise what that's going to lead to. So that, by definition, will create an atmosphere of pritzos, an atmosphere of parties and pageants and all kind of all the despicable things that are taking place in between the lines that the Megillah is describing, that's alluding to the Miramis, to Laharos, to Amri, Yomris, Yafkik, you know, bringing out the queen and whatever in a priestly manner. So this is obvious. This is the natural progression when you worship Olam Hazeh. So then you run out of things that make you happy. So you have to look for more things to make you happy, more things that make you not happy in a real sense, more things that make you enjoy, and more pleasure, and more lust, and more taivas, and more and more and more and more and more. So when you have such a materialistic society around you, so inevitably it's going to become what exactly happened. You can have a whole country sitting around drunk, you can have a whole country sitting around just partying, you can have a whole country just sitting around having pretzels. That was the society. That's what Achashverosh symbolized. He was the king. So he was representing. He was the leader. He was the model for the society. So if you live in such a world, so now Klal Yisrael are going to start to some of those values are going to start to seep in. It's going to be very, very subtle, but they're going to begin to start to seep in. And all of a sudden, we find that Katzi Mishubad is the Achashverosh, that was Katzi Abdei Achashverosh Anan. That even after the Purim ended, even after the Nates happened, Israel still has not broken out 100% from that culture, and you can't say hallel on that. You can't say hallel of Hashem if you're still part of that culture. It's impossible. It's a steer in the you can't be part of a world of Persia in the 500s and still be an Eved Hashem. There's certain things that just don't go hand in hand. So again, we don't have to describe the similarities. We don't have to highlight all the similarities. But I think anyone with a little bit of common sense and open eyes realizes that many of the values that were held in the great esteem in Persia in the year 500 before the Common Era have resurfaced very, very much in that world, a world of materialism, a world of just pleasure, pursuit of pleasure just for the purpose of pursuit of pleasure. So that kind of a mentality, no doubt, will lead to certain things that it led to then, it leads to today as well. That's exactly the world that we live in today. So it's very, very hard for a person to be an Eved Hashem. It's very, very hard to say, I love the Hashem when you live in that world. So the answer is that you have to break out of that world. The answer is you have to remove yourself. You have to, it doesn't mean you have to go live in the cave and, not interact with anything and everything in the outside world. But from your value system, so the value system of the world around us is not a value system. The morals and the ethics and what's important in the world around us is not us. That's just not us. It's not where we're going to give a shit to why we are part of it. It's just not us. That is not us. We are Avdei Hashem. We're not Avdei Achashverosh. We're not Avdei Parv. We're not Avdei Achashverosh. So the more we become Avdei Hashem, the less we become part of that world of Achashverosh, the more we become Avdei Hashem. So that's ultimately going to bring about our real Geula. So Purim is a time of Geula. It's a partial time of Geula. It didn't finish. The job wasn't finished yet because of Katzi Avdei Achashverosh. So hopefully we should be able to Katzi Avdei Shmaya to go the next step in our celebration of Purim, to become one step closer to Pesach, to be able to say with the Lev Shalem, Halu Avdei Hashem. Okay. On that note.